I am Cris Oviedo.
And I'm Mary Weeks. Welcome to Columbia Matters Radio. And Cris, we were just talking before we went on air about how fast the summer has just zoomed by. Mm-hmm. The kids are in school. How did all the time go by that quick? I don't even remember doing anything. I didn't go anywhere. Summer is over.
It's funny, but it seems like a lot of people didn't really get to do everything that they wanted to do. I'm not going to say that a lot of people didn't take vacation, because I know that late in the summer, at least, they decided, okay, summer's coming to an end. We need to do something. But I think we all felt like we were going to do so much more this summer than we actually did. It just went by so fast.
I know, but CA did a great job of entertainment down at the lakefront.
They always do.
It's almost like a staycation. You could go down and enjoy yourself and relax and be by the water and pretend you were on a vacation.
Yeah, dancing under the people tree. I know they struggled a little bit with all the rain that we had this summer.
Oh my gosh.
But the few nights that they got it in, there were a lot of people there. So
Florida weather, man, like where it just rains all the time and then it stops. But you know, summer may be ending, but CA still has great programs and events happening year round. There's a special event taking place this month, and here to tell us more is Lila Sewell Williams, manager of the Columbia Archives.
Hi Lila, welcome. Thanks for joining us here in Columbia Matters Radio.
Thank you for having me.
I know this is the second time that you've come in, and last time we welcomed you into your new position. You're the new person here at the Archives. And for those who don't know a lot about the Archives, let's just remind them a little bit of what the Archives is.
Well, the Columbia Archives grew out of a community effort to document and preserve the development of and planning of Columbia, Maryland as a planned community. The visionary James Rouse, the work that he put into the development as an innovative developer of Columbia, is very unique to any other planned community throughout the nation, I would say to some degree throughout the world, because of course there are planned communities throughout the world. So basically what the Columbia Archives does in its mission to preserve the history and the legacy of this planned community is really document the community that has come out of Columbia, the institutions, the organizations. Mr. Rouse was very, very good about helping people and supporting their own individual interest and needs in the community, whether it was the building of cultural institutions, social services, kind of gets into some of the discussion that we'll be having in a moment about the upcoming event that Columbia Archives is supporting. But it really is a grassroots initiative that Columbia Association in the 90s was kind enough to really take on the operating cost of it, because it did come out of the community, which makes it even more unique, because being that Columbia is 50, well, going on 51, relatively young, but such a unique town, such a unique community, that the people saw early on the need to be able to preserve that legacy.
Mm-hmm. And why is it important to preserve that legacy? I mean, why would it be important not only to just be living in the community, but also being able to look back where we come from and preserve that legacy?
Well, really what it does is allow the people to lead the charge in what's important. Many times we have other organizations that may dictate what the history and the legacy should be. However, with the inception of the Columbia Archives, being that it did come out of the community, it was the people who identified what the materials should be to preserve the legacy of Columbia. Being that it was, a planned community, so it had development and the economic side. But this really speaks to the social and the community aspect, whereas maybe another town that has county archives and political archives, things that really do serve as the developmental, institutional, day-to-day operations, this really speaks to the community at the core of who Columbia came to be identified through the movement of the people.
What is a planned community? You've mentioned that a couple of times, and I don't know that everybody's necessarily familiar with this concept of a planned community. How do we define it?
The word plan means from the beginning it was organized. So Mr. Rouse, in as early as I would say late 50s, early 60s. Of course, he was very involved in urban renewal. Some people identify him as a shopping mall gentleman, but his vision was much larger than that. But with Columbia, he had 6 months, he had a work group mm-hmm. that spoke about the development of various social and cultural behavioral aspects of Columbia that would be engaged in. So it was basically building a community from the people out. So inside of these work groups, you had a representation of education, mental health, housing, transportation, various cultural institutions. And so through that, they really planned out what Columbia would look like for the people. Mm. So there are other planned communities, like often some of us may reflect upon Reston, which is in Virginia. But even with Reston, as successful as it is economically, it still wasn't built from the people out with that philosophy that the people would be able to determine how they would grow. Symbolically, at the lakefront, you know, we have the people tree. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at it, it's everybody is attached by their feet on this tree, but everyone's extending their hands out to say that we're going to grow together, but we're going to take this philosophy of togetherness, diversity, which Columbia is built upon, and expand it and enrich other parts of Columbia, Maryland, and the greater region, but also the country and the world.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful analogy. I mean, I had a little bit of an understanding of what the people tree stood for, but that really made it, you know, the whole shape and the round shape and everything just made it much bigger than
I had envisioned. When I was going to school in Baltimore City, I had a psychology teacher who told me he was part of that work group. Mm. He was part of that work group. And as I've always mentioned here on the show, I grew up here. Mm. And my mother used to be a custodian at the exhibit center where people would come, go watch the slideshow, see the beautiful model. It was beautiful of Columbia.
Yeah.
I ran around that lake. I mean, I was playing in that waterfall. But it just, to me, it's still, and I was here when the villages, I'm not saying the villages aren't strong now, but there were no big box stores. Everybody went to their village. Everybody went to the cluster mailboxes. You talked at the mailboxes. It just, everybody was so close.
Yeah. We have another show here at the station. Liz Bobo, who was county executive of Howard County at some point, she has a show with us. It's called Reflections on Life. And she actually brought one of the three or four people who were involved in the planning of Columbia. And he says that this one time they were driving through where now it's 29 or 32, I think. And he was like, so where is this city at? And he was like, everything that you see over there and everything that you see to your left and everything that you see to the right, that's where the city is going to be. So to me, it's always been like to have this vision, you know, you have this just lot, right? And to have this vision of how you're planning this community and all of those details you just talked about, housing and mental health and religion and diversity. It's, I mean, we all think about food and shelter and those basic needs that need to be covered, but they really, really, really expanded that. And I think that that's, you know, with your analogy of the people tree, I think that that's what you just made it very clear for us, that from the beginning, they were really saying, okay, we're all linked, right? As in the people tree through our feet, we're moving together and we're extending to the world. So
if I could just interject the village concept, which I had not living in Columbia, living in Howard County, but the village concept of the nine villages in the downtown center really was something quite foreign to me. Mm-hmm. But being engaged in the records or learning about Columbia from their primary documentation, which of course isn't necessarily the books, it's the original papers that reflect the development and the planning of Columbia, that this nine village downtown center concept was really this new town concept that was all a wave in the 60s and 70s and there forward. And it was really this concept of having a kind of like a small town close mentality, but still being able to have the benefits of a city. Hmm. And Mr. Rouse being from Easton, Maryland, having relatively humble upbringing, even though a very, you know, strong intellectual person, but very humble, he wanted to almost, to me, is to maintain this sense of close-knit community, mm-hmm. But everyone, also based upon the fact that you have different socioeconomic and cultural diversity, that everybody kind of grow and build and enrich each other. So you may not have the same amount of money in your bank account, but your culture is so rich. So mm-hmm. everybody had something to contribute. And inside of those small communities, since there, and the villages specifically I'm speaking of, since there was different kind of affordable housing, everyone was supposed to be able to interact and upbuild. But it's still that small town mentality that would enable them to grow this new city, new town concept.
That's beautiful.
I was just reading somewhere where somebody said they lived here for a year and they felt it felt artificial. Well, I don't know how you can even call this city artificial. It's just really real. You know, it's really real. I got to grow up with people from different types of backgrounds and races, and I have friends from all walks of life, and I would not have it any other way. And that's, I'm glad I'm able for my son to be raised in a community like this. And I'm thankful for the Columbia Archives, because you can go in there and learn about your history. And they keep James Rouse's vision alive, and people get to go in and learn about who he was.
Right. Luna, tell us about this event that you have coming up.
So Bike About 2018. Bike About started in, I believe, 2001. Please forgive me if I have my year wrong. But it was developed out of a concept of the archive staff under the leadership of Barbara Kellner, with the great support of its archivists, Robin, Emmerich, and Jeanette, who served to support this pretty much as like an outdoor exhibit. Mm-hmm. But it really encouraged people to use the 95 miles of pathways. It's from my understanding, there's actually never been a 95 mile ride. it kind of ranged between 10 to 12, 10 to 13 miles.
And the pathways have grown since then.
Right. And so it was a way for the archives to get people out, to help them to appreciate all of the natural beauty of Columbia, because that was another aspect that Mr. Rouse wanted to make sure that was preserved, the open space. But also inside of that ride, they would be exposed to the history of Columbia through interpretive historical boards, posters. And so we continue in that tradition, as you mentioned earlier in this interview. I just got here January of 2018. So I've inherited this, but I recognized very early from my own understanding, but also from the call of the community, that this is a very highly appreciated route. It's a very highly appreciated event. Mm-hmm. And so through this event that exposes you to the history of Columbia, but it also helps you to appreciate the environmental uniqueness of Columbia.
Absolutely. I've actually participated on the back route before, and one of the things I didn't know is that Jim Rouse's house is located very close to here, and there is even a picture over there. So it really just brings to life the history of Columbia, and it really lets you understand, because many times you think that, oh, well, people just come and work here, but they go and live wherever. And this really took me like, no, wait a minute. He was here. He lived here. He was part of the community. He was really active, you know, not just making it, but he was part of it.
They have pictures and archives of him ice skating on Wild Lake, and there's a bench around the lake that's dedicated to him as well.
Yeah, so that's the beauty of one of the beautiful things of the Bike About, that you're, like you say, you find the stations as you're going by, and there's somebody there explaining to you what it is that you're looking at. It just brings to life the history in a way that to me, at least, was very impressive, and it made a big statement.
And it's for families.
Yeah, because it is it's a ride. It's more of a tour. It's not a race.
Right.
So it's self-paced. It is Saturday, the 29th of September, the last Saturday of the month, I believe. It starts at 9:30. Oakland Mills, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Its village center will be the beginning and the end. So it's the start and the finish space. So we are really looking forward to people to come out and support this year.
What do they need to bring with them in preparation of this event, what does people have to have?
Their bike.
That's what I was going to say. Their bike, their helmets, water. We do have a couple stations that will enable people to get water and some fruit stops and just to get the nourishment so they can continue on going. It's a 13-mile ride, so not too devastating, but Columbia is pretty hilly. And my husband is much more the cyclist. I just like to ride my bike. And so we have used the paths even before I became employed by Columbia Association. And so it's really going to be an enjoyable ride. We'll just hope that the weather cooperates. But we're at the beginning of the ride, we'll have different organizations that also the Columbia community or participants will be able to be exposed to as well. So thematically, we are focusing on, it's entitled Ride the Vision, James Rouse's Columbia. So each poster or interpretive panel will have a direct quote from Mr. Rouse that can be found within his papers or within the Columbia Archive. Hmm. And so we have, just to give a couple, because I don't want to give out all the secrets, but we are focusing on like the Family Life Center, the Village Neighborhood Concept, the Village Center Concept, Open Space, because those are just a few of the sites that are being developed and will have panels. But the panels not only will have the quote, but also give context to why he made those quotes, but also images that support it. But Mr. Rouse was, like, as you mentioned, he was really engaged in every process. This was his community. Mm-hmm. He lived here. He worked here. And so what I have found, and maybe because I'm new to Columbia, is that I don't feel as if personally that there are enough people that really understand the visionary that he was, not only inside of the development of Columbia, but just the larger part of who he was as a very humble man. Mm-hmm. But this James, this Ride the Vision, James Rouse's Columbia really will help people. Well, I'm hoping will help people to connect to his vision. And how are you building upon that? Columbia, from its inception, has always been about, you know, this community of close-knit people and diversity and just being able to expose people to different experiences. How are we continuing to maintain that mission, that vision that he set out so early? When I think about the fact that Mr. Rouse was encouraging, or not only encouraging, was determined to have open housing in the 60s when the Civil Rights Movement and the Civil Rights Act had just been signed a few years before the opening of Columbia in 67. How are we contributing to that diversity of community and conversation and institutional building as far as organizations that will support that? So this, I'm hoping people will see that Columbia was very personal to him and that he was about advocating the good in people, advocating the support of institutions and organizations that would enable people to move forward, because he was very progressive. And so in this Ride the Vision, I'm also hoping that will happen, that people could see, let me kind of sink my teeth into this. What am I doing as far as being able to make to ensure that this philosophy still moves forward?
I know you have one of his interviews where he talked about love. Even though he's not here, growing up here, I've always felt the love in this community for one another, for everybody. And my life has been changed because of living here in Columbia. And I know I'm not the only person's life that has been touched and changed by living in Columbia. He set out to do great things, and it worked.
What else can you tell us about the bike ride of this year? It's a wonderful event. I know that it's an event that people in the community, like you were saying, look forward to on a yearly basis.
Well, statistically, it's been 300 to 400 people that register. And then we have a wonderful opportunity to volunteer. Mm-hmm. So please go to the Columbia Archives website. And considering volunteering as a traffic person or at one of the historical sites. So there's opportunity to learn, but there's also opportunity to be engaged mm-hmm. as a volunteer. We also help that ultimately people will take this ride and come in droves to the archives to see what other investigation they can have of the development of Columbia, or Mr. Rouse specifically, whatever may have been of interest, because that's what we really want to do. In the past, I'm sure it has sparked people's interest to learn a little more about Mr. Rouse or Columbia in general, but we really are hoping this year that this event, thematically driven as Mr. Rouse's vision of Columbia, that people will come to the archives and do their own investigation and even see how their role in Columbia should also be preserved in the archive.
Mm-hmm. Where can people register and where can people find more details about the ride?
So ColumbiaArchives.org is our website, and we have on the left-hand side of the website, we have a news and events, and under there's a Bike About 2018, and there's video that wonderful Mary Reeks has developed for us.
Yes.
But there's also the registration information for the ride, but also registration information to volunteer.
If people want to volunteer, do they also go over there to the website, or do they? Is there anything specific that you're looking for in volunteers? Do they need to take a class? How soon do they need to register in order to volunteer for the event?
ASAP, register to volunteer. Those are the traffic stops, because we do have, since it's a 13-mile ride, we don't close off streets in Columbia, so it's still an open traffic area. So we do really need people to come and participate in that. So once they go to the website, and they can also go to Volunteer Howard County and register through that website. Actually, I think it leads to that website. And there are a couple training sessions. I believe the first training session is September 6th. Mm-hmm. And that will be at Columbia Association in the archive. It's led by Jeanette, who's our administrative assistant, an archives assistant, and she has been doing this for many years. So she's quite knowledgeable and can address any of the concerns of those who may volunteer.
And that's at 6310 Hillside Court, Columbia, Maryland, 21046.
So let's just remind everybody the date, the time of the event, so they can start putting it on their calendars.
Okay. So once again, it is September 29th, Saturday, September 29th. The event starts at 9:30 at Oakland Mills Village Center. We are looking for it to conclude by 1:30. We are hoping that all we're requesting that all are on the route no later than 10, because we want to make sure that everyone has enough time to safely get through. And then once it concludes at 1:30, then we'll close up shop then.
And Leela, I know that your team and Open Space work really hard to put this event together. It's fun to get out and see Columbia up close. You know, you experience nature more than you would if you're in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to learn history along the way. So this, we appreciate that your team takes the time to put this event together every year.
And wow. Thank you for coming to our show today.
We thank you very much for the invitation.
I'm looking forward to the event. This is Columbia Matters Radio, and we will be right back.
Take off all your clothes.
Safety and trust is something everyone wants out of a relationship.
Better to see you.
Ensuring you and your partner have been tested for sexually transmitted diseases can help with that.
Now we're all alone.
Unfortunately, young adults ages 15 to 24 account for more than half of the new cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV in Howard County.
Take off all your clothes.
Prevention is so much better than infection. Get tested. For more information, visit teenhealthmatters.org or call 410-313-7500 to schedule a free and confidential appointment at the Howard County Health Department.
Let's take it slow.
Transforming together.
Love is not always enough, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, but if you love someone and there's not other things missing, like trust or communication or clear expression of expectations and needs and desires, it's okay to say this isn't working anymore.
Join in the conversation Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. or just check it out on our podcast, Dragon Digital Radio, at podbean.com. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
Welcome back to Columbia Matters Radio. And earlier we mentioned that CA has events planned throughout the year. But here's another special event. We just talked about the 2018 Bike About. But now we're coming up on a 16th annual Hear My Voice Teen Day and Columbia Teen Idol competition. The auditions for this competition will be held on Wednesday, September 12th at 6:30 p.m. at the barn. And Wednesday, September 19th at 6:30 at the barn. Wednesday, September 26th at 6:30 at the barn. And on Thursday, September 27th at 7 p.m. at Lord and Taylor. The people who win at those auditions will get to move on to the semifinals. The actual competition will be held on Sunday, October 14th at 3 p.m. at the downtown Columbia Lakefront. And the barn is located at 5853 Robert Oliver Place. And if you want more information about this competition, call the Youth and Teen Center at 410-992-3726.
You can also contact them to get more information about the YTC Teen and Middle School Advisory Committees. They are a great way to make a difference, to get involved, and be an integral part of the solution, all while having fun and making friends. These two committees get young people involved in their community by planning, organizing, and implementing positive programs and activities for their peers. In the process, they gain self-confidence and leadership experience. And again, if you want more information on any of these two opportunities for your teen at home, contact 410-992-3726.
Yeah, that's great for kids to get involved in planning events for people their age.
Absolutely.
And we wanted to let you know that CA's Customer and Member Service Center has new hours effective as of August 1st, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are closed on Sunday.
The Columbia Arts Center also has some great fall and winter programs coming up. The Free Salon Series features presentations from artists, writers, and musicians. Some of the events coming up are Friday, September 21st at 7 p.m., the science fiction short films, A Look at the Future with Marv Sulkowitz. Monday, October 1st at 7 p.m., Back from the Light. This is a documentary screening and live discussion with Robert Neil Marshall. Also on Monday, November the 5th at 7 p.m., From Fox to Obstruction with Kelly Walker. And Saturday, December 1st at 7 p.m., Psychedelic Folk, Miles Gannett and Sean P. Finn.
And that's all free. All of those events are free. And then they also are having at the Columbia Arts Center a wild reading series. Tuesday, October 9th, 7 to 8:30, Stephen Leva and Joseph Ross. Tuesday, November 13th, 7 to 8:30, Jay Hall Carpenter and Yvette Neiser. And on Tuesday, December the 11th, from 7 to 8:30, Pamela Mary Winters and Lucinda Marshall. And that wild reading series is also free. And Columbia Arts Center is located at 6100 Foreland Garth, Columbia, Maryland, 21045. And to get more information, just give them a call at 410-730-0075.
Or you can visit columbiaartscenter.org. The Columbia Ice Rink is now open for everybody who is looking, you know, as we have the last really hot days of summer, just looking to cool off in a different way. Or for those of you who are looking to just get back into ice skating, you can start doing so now. You can visit columbiaassociation.org/ice rink to learn more about daily public sessions, lessons, figure skating, birthday parties, and their hockey program.
Yes, they do wonderful things over there. And CA's activities guide, CA's fall guide, is online. And you can check that out by visiting columbiaassociation.org/activities-guide-fall to view the guide and learn more about some of these great activities we've been talking to you about today and events.
And everything else that Columbia Association has for you. That's it for our show today. I'm very glad that we had Lila join us in the studio today, telling us all about the Bike About 2018. It's a great event. Again, encouraging everybody to mark their calendars. September 29th. You do not want to miss it. You really have a great opportunity to go and learn more about Columbia, its origins, and its vision and mission for the future, really. Thank you for listening to our show today. And if you want to connect with us, you can go to dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. That's where you can listen to all of our shows, all of our talk shows that we do. You can also go to Facebook. We're Dragon Digital Radio. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at Dragon Digital Radio. Or you can just go to howardcc.edu/Dragon Digital Radio. We have many ways, many platforms, and I know Columbia Association has many of them too, right, Mary?
Yes, and to find out about upcoming CA events, please visit columbiaassociation.org/events. And we're also on social media, and you also can check us out at our website at columbiaassociation.org. Thank you again for tuning in.
And we'll see you next time. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.